Welcome back to the sports page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. I'm Hunter Vaughn here with Nick Bodie. So we're into our final segment. As we were talking a lot about college football, we're going to move to the professional ranks now in the NFL. And as we talked about at the top of the show, the Green Bay Packers firing their head coach, Mike McCarthy, offensive coordinator Joe Philbin will be the interim head coach. And we talked about it off the air. Joe Philbin, he's basically coaching to possibly get an OC job somewhere else, maybe a job down at the college ranks. But I don't see him getting the head coaching job after this season unless they somehow put up 700 yards in every single game. And even then, I just don't see the front office for Green Bay being able to say, yeah, we're going to fire the head coach, but we're going to keep everyone else around, because that makes complete sense. That would be a Cleveland Browns level move. Yep. So that's where I think Philbin will be gone as well. So I have to know, who do you expect to be the head coach? I've got an idea of what I would kind of do if I were in this position. Granted, I don't think anyone would ever hire me to be a president or a GM of a team to be able to make this move, but I've got an idea, and I think it kind of fits with my personality for things. But I want to know, what coaches do you think the Packers should be kind of seeing if they can lure them up to Green Bay?
So first off, there's two really idiotic narratives going around on social media that I need to squash here and now. Number one, people saying Brett Favre should be a coach. Brett Favre has never coached at the college or professional level. I believe you said he's been an OC for a Mississippi high school team.
Yes, back in his hometown, he was the OC, I believe it was. So he was up in the booth. And that, and he said he really didn't, from what I remember seeing in a few interviews, he didn't really enjoy coaching a whole lot. He just kind of did it and that. So I don't see why that would ever, like, what team would ever decide that's a good idea.
To give you an idea of Brett Favre's X's and O's knowledge, he was almost 30 years old. He was in a meeting. Mike Holmgren mentioned the nickel defense. Brett Favre leaned over to Ty Detmer, who's his backup, and he said, "What's the nickel defense?" Didn't know what that was, and he was in, like, many years in playing for the Packers. Besides that, not a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So, no, going to refute that one. And also, trying to poach somebody from college football, I swear to you, I have seen people mentioning Lincoln Riley, Cliff Kingsbury as head coaches.
And Jim Harbaugh.
Coordinators, man, I've heard Harbaugh, I heard Urban Meyer. And I'm like, no, none of those guys are leaving their jobs. Lincoln Riley, if you're out there listening, because why wouldn't you be tuned in to WRSD FM Oshkosh? Lincoln Riley, please stay at Oklahoma. Like, you're going to make way more money. You can be there forever. You can build up a program. So no, those two I refute. The guy I want is Matt LaFleur. Came up with Sean McVay in that same system. They were with the Redskins together. He was McVay's OC last year with the Rams when they did more with a lot less. They did not have Brandon Cooks there. I mean, this guy was scheming up plays for Robert Woods. This was before they had Cooper Kupp. Like, he really, really good OC. Went down to the Titans this year, so we've seen him integrate a little bit more of a power run game. He's got that in his kind of arsenal, so he's a guy who's going to be able to feed Aaron Jones. I think they need one of the hot young assistants coming out of either that Andy Reid tree or that Sean McVay tree. I love Matt LaFleur. I think he could be our next guy. My pie-in-the-sky dream would be Josh McDaniels, but I think anyone who follows the NFL knows the only reason he stuck around in New England was because Belichick probably said, "Man, I got 2 years left. You can have it after I'm done." So Matt LaFleur, OC for the Titans, he's my guy.
See, and I want to go a little bit of a different route. And I know this is kind of strange given everything that we've talked about with Aaron Rodgers needing, you know, they want a creative offensive sort of coach. But I could really see a scenario where the Packers basically back a truckload of money up to Vic Fangio's door.
Okay.
If you don't know who he is, he's the defensive coordinator for the Bears. They're running a 3-4 defense, so it's not like it's a weird switch to the 4-3 again, and you have these weird personnel changes that you have to make and everything. I like the idea of him and Mike Pettine having to coach together, and I think he's just, what he's done with that defense has earned him the ability to say, I can coach a team. And then you have the possibility of him pulling Mark Helfrich, who's the head coach at Oregon, who can run a spread offense, does a lot of crazy things. I don't think he's the executive sort of guy to head coach a team at the NFL level, but I think he's creative enough and would love nothing more to have than to have Aaron Rodgers, which is an up, as much as I love Mitch Trubisky, it's an upgrade if he gets Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think Willie Taggart would love it if Helfrich left, because he could go back to Oregon. I don't think he's liking the FSU job too much, so.
That's a rough one for him.
See, I like that. I think that's not, you know, because there is that kind of theory where you say, let Aaron Rodgers at this point is kind of the way that Peyton Manning was when he went to the Broncos, where he's pretty ready to be his own offensive coordinator. I think that was a lot of the friction between him and McCarthy. So he wants to be coached. He's come out and said that. I desperately want to be coached. I remember that quote. If you bring in an offensive guy, he's got to be an innovator. He's got to bring in something exciting. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, you might just kind of want to let him roll. Find somebody that Mike Pettine can get along with and where I would really like to keep, because like Mike Pettine figured out how to unlock Kyler Fackrell. I think he's coached up these young DBs really well. Like he's a good guy to keep around.
And I know early on in the year when you and I did the show and we talked about this, when I told a lot of people when Mike Pettine got hired, it might be a rough year for this defense just because he comes out of that Ryan family tree of coaches, and not to get super X's and O's, it's a complicated defense. That's part of the reason why Rob Ryan left the Cowboys was because they struggled to find players who could mentally handle that type of a defense. They found it in Green Bay with players who can handle that sort of play and can do it at a high level. So that's where, again, Mike Pettine needs to stay out of all of the coaches.
I gotta say, there's one more name that's up in the air, and it's weird to me that it's being mentioned. I've heard a lot of people saying John Harbaugh might be out with Baltimore, and if the Ravens let him go, I gotta tell you, I would love if we snatched up John Harbaugh. I think he's a great coach. He's good all-around coach. He's won a Super Bowl in recent memory. I think he'd be a good guy to snag.
I've even seen people mention the idea of, and I've seen it on Twitter a little bit, I had a couple of friends send me some messages talking about this, the possibility of Jim Harbaugh leaving the Michigan job to go and take the Packers. And if Green Bay does that, it shows that they're not listening to Aaron at all, in the sense of Harbaugh is going to run power offense. He's not this big spread it out, let's air the ball around, do creative things. He's very hard-nosed with the way he calls games. That's just not what the Packers want if they want to keep Aaron happy, which is really disappointing for me that they have to do that, but that's the situation they put themselves in when they're going to pay Aaron Rodgers $130 million dollars or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers were not stupid enough to say, we're going to go out and hire whoever we want as a coach. We don't care what LeBron thinks. I mean, same thing, I'm sure, with the Lakers. That was a big decision-making factor, was, do I get along with the people in the front office and the coach? Aaron Rodgers, you're stuck with him. He's an all-time talent, and stuck with him in the best way, but I mean, that contract, he ain't going anywhere, so he better like who you got as the head coach. That's got to be somebody that he respects and someone that's not going to handcuff him the way Mike McCarthy kind of was known to, where he was, didn't really give him the freedom that he should have.
No, I want to stick in the NFC as we're talking about NFL football here on the Sports Page. We're inside our last 10 minutes of our last ever broadcast together here on WRST. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, I know I'm a Cowboys fan, and it's not just because of that that I want to talk about this, but they had a huge win against the Saints, a game that they really should have probably been up 24-3 at half. The Saints got away with a pass interference penalty in the end zone. Cowboys offense is just a dumpster fire when it comes to moving the ball down the field. But with the Cowboys winning that game, I want to know, clearly the Rams and the Saints, two best teams in the NFC. But between the Bears, the Seahawks, and the Cowboys, who has the best chance of those three? All three of those teams have shown flaws. Who has the best chance to possibly get to the Super Bowl or get the upset to get to the NFC Championship game, over instead of just the Rams and the Saints?
Well, first, I think you and I, all season long, every Monday I come in and we play, are the Cowboys good or are they terrible? Because it's like, this Dallas team, I have no, week 10, I was like, okay, Jason Garrett's out. He's going to be fired. Like, he's out of his job. 1 week, they, you know, they'll come out and they'll spank the Jaguars, and then you figure out the Jaguars aren't very good. And then, like, they get run by the Titans, and you're like, what is this team? Like, I have no idea. So the Dallas Cowboys, they're too inconsistent. I can't quite figure them out. I like the Bears.
Question mark?
There's things to like. I think the Bears are a year away from being really dangerous. I think once they fully integrate Khalil Mack into this defense, once Roquan Smith has had a year in the pros to really figure things out, they get a great young coaching staff. Bears will be good. I got to go with Seattle. They've won a Super Bowl, and two words, baby, Russell Wilson. Like, he is a guy that can carry a team single-handedly. Him and Tyler Lockett have really figured it out this year. They've still got Doug Baldwin, Nick Vannett coming out nicely as a tight end for him. And I roasted them for that Rashad Penny pick, but they figured out their run game. Their offensive line is not a turnstile anymore. It's not like actively
he's not running for his life.
They're not trying to get Russell Wilson killed, from what I've gathered. So I if one team's gonna make that run, I think you gotta have a veteran quarterback who's just an absolute playmaker. Give me Russ Willie, man. Danger Russ.
See, and I almost want to say the Cowboys, only from the sense of we saw it against the Saints, and I think just from the way that, because this Rams front seven, outside of getting Ndamukong Suh, for whatever reason, the Cowboys just have them figured out mm-hmm. whenever they've played each other. And they've played each other multiple times since Aaron Donald has been there. And everyone else on that front seven, just for whatever reason, the Cowboys O-line can just take care of business against them.
Yeah.
And that's where I say the Cowboys could possibly do what they did to the Saints, in the sense of, we're going to go on an 8-minute drive. Even if we get a field goal, half the quarter's already gone.
Right.
Have fun. You're only going to get 5 possessions. And that, in compared to like the 20 that they're used to getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say, if the Cowboys, I think Amari Cooper has been a big addition for them.
He could just get open down the field and Dak could hit him down the field. This offense would be completely different.
And there was that Giants game on Sunday Night Football. They bombed one to Tavon Austin for like 70 yards.
Yep.
And he's a guy that's been floating around. He was on the Rams forever. He wasn't floating around. But it's always kind of been like, hey, who can figure out how to use this guy? He was a top 10 overall pick, but he's 5'8". Is he a receiver? Is he a running back? If they can figure out how to use him.
He's not even on the team now.
Yeah.
I know. I didn't understand that at all with trading him. And I have so many issues with the front office for the Cowboys. I could have a whole show on my issues with that. But we're down to 5 minutes left here on our last sports page. I want to get to the game picks because I'm really excited about the first game on our game picks here. As Nick, we've got Army versus Navy. This is by far my favorite rivalry game in all of college football. Mm. And it's, unfortunately, usually one team is really good while the other one isn't. But who do you like in Army-Navy?
I love Army. They played Oklahoma really close this year. The option, always tough to prepare for, even when you're playing another option team. I think they're talented. And I think the Military Bowl, or the Armed Forces Bowl, rather, where Army's playing against Houston, that could be a sneaky good bowl game. So give me Army and those cool black uniforms, the big red one on them.
Yeah, absolutely going to be the best uniforms of the year. The Army going with the special uniforms for their game this Saturday against Navy. Then tonight in the NBA, Oklahoma City at Detroit. Detroit, a surprise team in the East this year, playing mm-hmm. really good basketball. I like Detroit in this game against OKC. I'm not a fan of the way Russell Wilson plays with this ball hogging kind of, I'm going to get a triple double and then act
Westbrook.
Like I'm. My brain just shut off for a minute. So just
like, I'm not a fan of that Russell Wilson guy who he's scrambling
though I have
around.
A jersey.
Yeah.
So Russell Westbrook, I don't like that. I don't think that's the formula to really consistently win. So that's why I like Detroit at home to win that game.
Yeah, for the sake of argument, I'll take Westbrook. You know, maybe it'll be one of those nights he gets hot, drops like a quadruple triple, but still manages to shoot like 10 for 50 from the field. We'll see. Yeah, I'll give me OKC.
And then tonight, also Monday Night Football, Redskins on the road against the Eagles. And I like the Redskins in this game simply for the fact that normally I would pick against the Redskins, but the way the Eagles fans, this is completely me just not liking Eagles fans, the way that they have been since winning that Super Bowl, I just can't ever even remotely be okay with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
So I like the Redskins. Plus, I think the Eagles are the more dangerous team for the Cowboys down the stretch than Washington.
Right.
So that's why, again, I just got to take the Redskins.
I love Colt McCoy. He was my guy back at UT, but I think I got to go with the Eagles. They've been having a tough time figuring things out. They're on like their 8th string corner, and their starting running back, I'm pretty sure, was a clerk at Costco when the season started. But I'll take Philly to figure this one out.
And then our final game, also going on tonight, college basketball, number 18, Iowa, on the road at number 10, Michigan State. Huge game for Iowa. They have a chance to fall down to 0-2 in Big Ten play after that loss at home to Wisconsin. I think Iowa comes out hot early on, puts up kind of an early lead on Michigan State, and Michigan State's just not able to come back in that game. I like the Hawkeyes to go to 1-1 because I think they need this game already this early on in the year.
Yeah, no, I like Iowa. When they played the Badgers on Friday, that team really impressed me. They looked good. Jordan Bohannon looked really excellent. Like that's a dangerous team. That's a quality win for the Badgers. I think Iowa is going to be, you know, come late March when the Big Ten tournament starts up, that's going to be a really dangerous squad. Yeah, give me Iowa over Michigan State.
We've got a couple of minutes left here, and I know you kind of mentioned the one bowl game that you really want to look out for here on our last sports page, but one bowl game I was kind of looking through. We were talking about all of these bowl game schedules, and again, the Badger game I'm not super interested in, even as a Badger fan, but there are two bowl games that I'm going to make sure I tune into, and it's actually the day after the Pinstripe Bowl. with number 16 West Virginia taking on number 20 Syracuse in the Camping World Bowl, and then also Iowa State playing Washington State. I love me some Mike Leach playing in the Alamo Bowl. Is there another bowl game that you think people should be watching out for?
You know, those are both good. Wazoo has been nice, and Purdy over there at Iowa State. I actually went to high school with one of his cousins. She's been real big following them. So yeah, I like those matchups. I got to say Purdue-Auburn. Auburn has really, they've underperformed. They're not a good team, but they're still an exciting team. And Purdue has shown some real flashes. I mean, they beat down Ohio State. They've got one of the more versatile players in the country on offense. The receiver's name? I can never remember.
Moore.
And yeah, I think that could be potentially an interesting one. You got an ex-XFL coach facing off against an offensive innovator at Auburn. So give me that one, man.
And I would like to point out, of all of these bowl games that we had to pick from, we picked the games that are all played on Friday, December 28th. So from Nick and I, that's going to be the Bodie Vaughn day for college football. Friday, December 28th, the three bowl games that there are that day. You've got Purdue-Auburn, West Virginia-Syracuse, Iowa State-Washington State. I mean, at least four of those teams that are playing can put up huge points. Yeah. So if nothing else, you're going to see a whole lot of touchdowns played. Not a whole lot of defense. So if you're a defensive fan, I wouldn't tune in on Friday, December 28th. But with 30 seconds left, Nick, this is our final broadcast ever for WRST, as we will both be graduating in 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. Kind of freaking out because I don't have a job yet. But, you know, I want to just say thank you. You and I got to call a national championship together. We've done a bunch of shows. You were the host for Titan Overtime that I got at EP. It's been so much fun.
Couldn't have done it without you, partner. Hail Titans. Best of luck to basketball this year. And huge shout out to Ken and Tim, sports information director, always giving us a hand. And to Randall Davidson, our fearless leader here at WRST-FM Oshkosh.